In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was waste and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness night, and there was evening, and there was morning, one day. So begins Scripture in Genesis 1 and 1. I'm glad that you've joined us this morning for the Let the Bible Speak program. And today and over the next few studies on this program, I'd like to talk about the Bible doctrine of creation. I want us to go back to the beginning. We are making a mistake in our society and in our world today by not going back to the beginning. We need to do that. We need to have a moral and ethical reset. We need to go back to the beginning. And so many people have either forgotten about this or have never been taught about it, especially in the younger generations. There's some people, I'm sure, that have never even heard these words. Those who are familiar with the Bible are very familiar with Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But I suppose there are younger generations that have never even heard those words. And we see the moral decline today all around us when we remove God from our understanding. And so I want to go back to the beginning. In fact, this may spur other lessons in the near future, just simply to go back to the beginning on a number of items. But I want to look at creation this morning. How did our universe begin? This is an age-old question, and it's answered differently depending upon who you ask. If you ask someone who believes in the Bible, then it would be, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you ask a secularist or a humanist or an atheist, the most popular theory is that it began with a big bang, an explosion of material. And as that material is flying out at a rapid speed, so the moon is formed and the earth is formed and the galaxies and the planets are formed. But then my question is, where did the material come from? And ultimately, the atheist says that physical material has always existed. I say that God has always existed. What is more reasonable? That material would always exist or that a being would always exist? And given the second law of thermodynamics, that physical material is wearing out, our sun, for example, is burning up and wearing out, giving that fact of science, how can we say that material things have existed for eternity? The second law of thermodynamics proves that physical material has a starting point and that it wears out from that starting point. So it's more reasonable to believe that God has always existed. But how did our universe begin? Many answer this question with popular theories from modern science, and those theories are constantly changing. Some are actually giving up on the Big Bang theory. It used to be called the Big Bang theory. For several years, it was called a fact. Now people are getting back to calling it a theory. All kinds of theories of modern science and human reason have tried to answer the question, how did our universe begin? All we need to do is to go back to the beginning and let the Bible speak. We need to let people have an opportunity to hear the Bible answer to this question and let them make up their mind as to what is more reasonable. The Bible doctrine of creation declares how and why we have a universe. And I want that doctrine, that truth, to be heard. things that happened in the beginning are being ignored. They're being twisted. They're not being taught at all. And there are a lot of people who are ignorant about how things should be from the very beginning. You know, the doctrine of creation is central to our faith. It's a part of, for example, of believing in Jesus Christ. In John 1, verses 1 through 3, we're told that He is God and that He, all things came into existence through Him. It's a part of believing in Jesus. It's a part of faith. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 that without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing to God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. Without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing to God. Well, back in verse 3, a part of that faith is this. By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the Word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of the things which appear. The worlds, the universe, and all things therein have come about by the Word of God, not a Big Bang explosion. And look at the latter part of verse 3. So that what is seen, the physical things that we can see, have not been made out of things which appear. Things that we can see and know, our planet, the moon, the planets, the stars, every physical object was not made out of things which appear. Physical things were not made out of other physical things. They were made out of the Word of God. Physical things were made by God's Word from nothing. We call that from the Latin ex nihilo, from nothing. That is proved by the latter part of verse 3. Physical things did not come from other things. They came from nothing when God spoke it into existence. It came from God's Word, where there's absolutely nothing, and then God's Word, for example, let there be light, and there was light, they come into being. So notice very carefully the latter part of verse 3. It's a part of our faith. It's a part of believing in God and praising God. Those around the throne in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Praise God, worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they were, or they exist now, and were created. Because you created all things. The doctrine of creation was a part of the New Testament church. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 24, one example of New Testament Christians praying to God. And they address Him as someone who created all things. Acts chapter 4 and verse 24. O Lord, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, O Lord, Thou didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. It was a part of being a New Testament Christian and having faith. It was a part of preaching the New Testament gospel when individuals would preach to others and talk with others to bring them to Christ. Sometimes creation would come into play. When they were preaching the gospel, for example, in Iconium and Lystra and Derbe, we find that part of Paul's message in Acts 7 and verse 15. You should turn from these vain things unto a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. That's what we just read back in Acts chapter 4. And that's what Paul is preaching to Gentiles in Iconium and Lystra and Derbe. Idol worshipers, pagan idol worshipers, they have to come to the one true God. He does that in Athens in Acts 17. 24 through 26. It was a part of preaching the gospel to others. It's a part of the faith of the New Testament. that must be believed. We believe the New Testament teaching, the one faith of the one gospel. And sometimes there are statements in that about the creation of God. For example, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, to make men see, Paul was preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery, which for ages has been hid in God, who created all things. It's a part of the foundation of several important New Testament teachings. It's interesting that when Jesus is teaching about marriage, he goes back to the creation of Adam and Eve. We read that in Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 and following. The creation account is brought up with Adam's sin in Romans chapter 5. The creation is brought up with regard to the headship of man in 1 Corinthians 11, 8 and 9. The body, the physical body that one day will be resurrected, 1 Corinthians 15, 21 through 22. Christ and the church, husbands and wives, Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. Eve and her deception and male leadership in 1 Timothy 2, 12 through 15 goes back to creation. There are many important foundational doctrines in the New Testament that go back to creation. In fact, the Bible doctrine of creation is found from Genesis to Revelation about 75 different times. And so I want us to spend some time looking at some key facts about creation from God's Word. Let's examine them today and in our future studies. We've got to get back to belief in God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We have gone astray because of that very first verse. Many, many people do not believe that anymore, and they are living in their lives and hurting others around them as if God does not exist, and we are reaping the moral decline of that grievous position of atheism. And really, when Bible believers try to compromise with evolution, it's called theistic evolution. It's simply a watered-down version of evolution. It's a compromise. We don't do anybody any favors by trying to compromise with a man-made teaching and try to match that with the Word of God. So theistic evolution is not a lot better, in my judgment, than evolution itself. In fact, it distorts the Word of God. What's interesting about theistic evolution is people do not change evolution to make it fit the Bible. They change the Bible to make it fit evolution. And so that compromise is no better when you end up twisting and distorting the Word of God. So let's look at some basic facts about creation this morning. First of all, creation was an act of the entire Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Of course, in Genesis 1 and verse 1 that we've been quoting, God the Father was active in creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Various places throughout the Bible, God is called Creator, Ecclesiastes 12, 1, Isaiah 40, 28, and other places. God is called Maker, Job 32, 22, Psalm 95, verse 6, and several other places. So God the Father is a part of creation. We know from John 1 and verse 3 that God the Son was active in creation. The well-known John 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, just like Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, John 1 verse 1, was the Word, speaking about Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Notice that he was both with God, implying a separate personality, but he was God. teaching that he's also divine in nature. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that has been made. That makes it very clear that God created the heavens and the earth, and he worked through Jesus, the Son of God, to make all things. So God the Father was creating, God the Son working through him. And then I read earlier Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We're not given the details of what he was doing, but hovering over and brooding over, as it were, the creation, watching over. You also might tie in Psalm 104 and verse 30, that the preservation of God's creation is done through the Spirit of God. So the whole universe came into being through the creative work of the Godhead. Heavens and earth is an expression and an idiom that refers to everything that is. Everything that is a part of our world. And we understand that it came about by the Godhead, not by atheistic evolution, not by theistic evolution. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let me talk a little bit about the word for create. There are three different Hebrew words that are very important to understand with regard to God's creation. The Hebrew word bara, the Hebrew word asah, and the Hebrew word yatsar. The Hebrew word bara means to produce or generate, to shape. And it's used about 38 times in the Old Testament in a particular Hebrew form that it is always used of divine creation, never of human creation. It's used in Genesis 1 and verse 21 to create Adam and Eve. Several places in the Old Testament it is used. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. And so God creates. The second word, asah, means to do or to make. It's an emphasis on the activity of creation. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 7, God made the firmament and divided the waters which were made under the firmament. Made is a common word. Create for bara, make or made for asah. And the third word, form, means to fashion. A lot of times it's used from something that God had already made, and then he is taking what has already been made and further forming it. A good example of this is in Genesis 2, verses 7 and 8. And Jehovah God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He had already made dirt, ground, and now he is forming that, yatsar, to do something else. And these words are used interchangeably for creation. And a lot of times, the Hebrew word bara is used, as I mentioned earlier, it's used of God, divine creation, and it's used of something that is being made from nothing. And that is confirmed with Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. So first of all, we find one of the main important doctrines is that we are here because of the Godhead. And we would do well to understand that he is our creator. You see, if we come about merely by atheistic evolution, then we're just a product of a long line of billions of years of evolution. We're just simply evolved animals. There is no outside God who is directing us. There's no outside source of authority. There's no ultimate authority. We're all just simply choosing our own way, picking our own rules, doing our own thing. You can see how that's causing a problem in our society with abortion, killing the unborn, murdering, stealing, lying, controlling people, abusing people, assaulting people, deceit, con artist. We're seeing in the news the individual who scammed billions of dollars from investors, and he's hiding out down in the Caribbean somewhere, trying to evade the law. There's all kinds of nefarious behavior going on. Why? Because we will not have God in our knowledge. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, we refuse to have God in our knowledge, and it leads to all kinds of terrible things. And he mentions things like unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things. That goes on all the time. Some of the recent problems that we've been experiencing stem from people who are inventing things that actually hurt people. Disobedient to parents without understanding, covenant breakers without natural affection, unmerciful. Terrible people. Why? Verse 28, they refuse to have God in their knowledge. And so we have to get back to Genesis 1 and verse 1. When we have God in our life, we act much better than when we do not. A second important principle that I want to talk about, that we have time to talk about this morning, is that creation was a free act of God, a free, loving act. God did not have to create. He was not forced to create. He, along with His Son and the Holy Spirit, are eternal in nature. That's one attribute of deity. And at a moment in time, in the beginning, that implies time. By the way, Genesis 1 and verse 1 mentions some of the basic elements that physics proves to this day. Several scientific physics principles are found in Genesis 1 and verse 1. Time is one of them. In the beginning, time. Another principle of physics is force. God, in the beginning, time, God, force, created the heavens and the earth, material things, and then space. So space, time, force, physical elements, these are all taught in school as physics and scientific truths. They all come from, they're all mentioned in the very first verse of the Bible. There's not a genuine scientist or physicist on the face of the earth that debates or argues with those basic principles of time, force, physical, material, and space. And yet we find it all introduced to us in the very first verse of the Bible. So, there was a time in the beginning when time started where the Godhead said, we will create. He freely chose to do that. He created from desire, not need. He does not need anything. He did not need any of this, and yet He chose to do that. God had a plan, even before time eternal. Paul talks about in Ephesians 1:11, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. They were foreordained after His purpose and the counsel of His will. And some of these things were in His mind even before Genesis 1 and verse 1. Turn over to chapter 3 of Ephesians and to verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ. He had a plan from the very beginning to create, which involved mankind. And he knows in advance that man is going to sin, but he already plans in advance that there can be a Savior through his Son Jesus. All of this is voluntary. And it's extraordinary. God does not create because he needs to do that in some way. We are so used to that. We are used to making things because we need things. God did that purely out of love and desire to have fellowship with others. In Psalm 115 and verse 3, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased." That's what it all comes from. And it's very interesting that we are the recipients of that. God did not create because he needed something from us. In Acts 17 and verse 25, Paul preaches on Mars Hill, or the Areopagus in Athens, in Acts chapter 17, and he reminds the listeners there, "The God that made the world and all things therein, he being Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands," look at this, "neither is he served by men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he himself giveth to all life and breath and all things. He made of one," that's the original couple, Adam and Eve, "every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek God if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our very being, and certain, as even certain of your own poets have said, we are also his offspring." We are to seek God. That's one of the main reasons for creation, for us to turn around and seek him. But he doesn't need anything from anyone. He gives life to all things. So that's something that is very important, friends, that God created from a free act of his own will and his own desire so that we can turn around and serve him. He created because he desires to show his love and goodness toward us. And we can turn around and have the opportunity to seek him, or we can just simply put him out of our knowledge if we so choose, and we have the problems that come from that. We have the benefits that come from seeking him. I hope to have some studies on the creation that we are in, this beautiful creation that we're in, by God in the beginning. Thank you for joining us on the program this morning. We've got to get back to the beginning. We need a moral and ethical reset in this nation. Let's get back to the beginning. Thank you for joining us this morning on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.